Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The Great Commission or Great Hypocrisy. What is it that we involved in the Great Commission that Jesus gave us? Are we the greatest hypocrites on the face of the earth? Let me ask you something, friend. Do your works testify that you worship or deny Christ? Are you personally fulfilling a New Testament purpose? That question can be posed both to individuals and local bodies of believers that claim to be New Testament churches. Jesus says in the end of Matthew 28, the last three verses, he says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, Jesus says all authority is given to him in heaven and in earth. And why is he saying that? For what reason is he saying that? The next verse, verse 19, "Go ye," he says, "therefore," he's telling all of his church, not only his 12 there, or 11, but he's telling all believers of all ages, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." We are to go and teach the Bible as we are to teach others also as we're learning it. And as the Lord, who is our ultimate and only real teacher, teaches us. We're learning together. We're letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly or abundantly together. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Teaching, there's that word again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So Jesus is saying, all power is given to me, and I am with you with that divine authority that I'm investing in you to go forth and teach all nations and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, the whole counsel of God, as we have recorded in the canon of Holy Scripture. Namely, I would recommend, if you speak English, and you probably do if you're listening to me, the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Bible. That's where we have his word in the canon of the Word of God. He's, all authority has been given to him, and therefore he's given it to us to go. This is the great transfer of authority and to teach all nations. He didn't say anything about going to help make this world a better place here. Jesus didn't forget to tell us something we needed to know, beloved. He's the Son of God. He's the all-knowing creator and God of everything that is. And he didn't forget to tell us something that we needed to know. He left those things out because they are not included. They do not qualify for something that he is sending us to do, you and I, or that he wants us to do, such as what? Building houses for people, especially building houses for people while not giving them the gospel so they can have an eternal home with him, Jesus, who said his Father has gone away to prepare, or is he's going away, and with his Father, he's in his Father's house preparing many mansions. So someone's eternal soul is the most important and valuable thing that they have, if you will, not having a comfortable place to live on the earth. I'm not saying housing isn't important on the earth. I believe that could probably fall under the necessities of life, including that which is raiment covering, clothes, and then somewhere to sleep. In Israel, in the desert, they all had their encampments or their homes or their tents. So I'm not saying that's not important, but why would a Christian ever want to be involved in something that's not teaching the Word of God? I would have no idea why. I don't know why any Christian want to put a penny into that or spend a second into it. I've met a lot of people, and I know a lot of people that go to Haiti and all over America and build houses with Habitat for Humanity, who claims to be a Christian organization, but they refuse to preach the gospel and teach the gospel or give away literature. So they're not Christian at all, only in name, which makes them hypocrites. Do you realize that following Jesus means following what he taught, friend? Do you realize that? If we do not follow what Jesus taught, including what I just read, we're not following Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. He also said in Mark 8:38, that if you're ashamed of him and of his words in this adulterous and sinful generation, he'll also be ashamed of you. Not only him, it's not enough to say, oh, I love Jesus, oh, I'm saved. But if you're ashamed of his words, and that's proven in whether or not you deny him by obeying or not obeying his word, then he's going to be ashamed of you. There are many other verses that address that situation. But do you realize, my friend, that God gave us the record of Christ's earliest disciples in the book of Acts in particular, so that we could measure just exactly what is true and what is false in our current day, so that we can make sure that we're living a New Testament life and we're fellowshipping with other believers of like mind who are learning and becoming New Testament Christians. In other words, Christians based on what God gave us in the oracle of his written word. The book of Acts is what I'm talking about in specific. What were his followers doing before any wolves or false teaching had time to enter in? That's what I want to ask you. And God gave it to us in his word. He's got the answer to this question, but just think about that. What was going on in the pristine state of the early church just after Pentecost, before there was any time for false teaching or wolves to enter in? Here's a taste of what they were doing, and this will give us a way to determine who is and who is not of God today, namely those in ministry positions. Acts 5:42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, I just mentioned one example of an organization today who claims to be Christian in their statement of beliefs or whatever, or where they define who they are, but yet they're not teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. If you're not teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, you're not fulfilling a New Testament purpose, not only as an individual, but also as a local body. And let me tell you, it's absolutely regrettable, but there's so few so-called local churches that are fulfilling the Great Commission and teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. That's what the early church was all about. Let me read it again. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple, if you're going to go to a set-apart building called the church building, that's fine. It's not a sin in itself. You know, it's lavishly done and money's wasted. I would think that would be a sin. But anyway, so what would you be doing if you're fulfilling a New Testament purpose, whether in the temple, a gathering place, or in house-to-house meetings? Well, you're teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. If you're fulfilling a New Testament purpose, that's what you're all about, is helping the believers, those that are already saved, to go on to full perfection or maturity, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and of the fullness of the stature of Christ, as we read in Ephesians 4. And also teaching and preaching to those who aren't saved to repent and turn to Jesus, because we've all sinned against God and we merit nothing but damnation. But God poured out his mercy for us on that cross as he was reconciling the world unto himself through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. This Acts 5:42 is a verse of holy truth. Holy, H-O-L-Y, truth, to be memorized. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did what? They ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. This does not necessarily mean that you have to stand on a street corner on a crate and yell at people. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, don't get that picture in your mind, as the Bible speaks in Philemon, I think it's chapter 1, verse 6 or 7, quote, the communication of thy faith. That's a biblical term, communicating the original gospel, the scriptures, the message of the law in the gospel, which is able to convert sinners unto the Savior. Amen. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, making wise the simple. So remember this, Acts 5:42, quote, And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. It's very telling, this verse. These true disciples of Jesus were obeying his command, the Lord's command, to teach and to preach Jesus Christ, as he gave to the apostles and to all that believe on him. In the end, the last three verses in the first gospel of Matthew, and we see the term the apostles' doctrine in Acts 2:42, which the earliest believers continued steadfastly in. And if you can obey God and be in the will of God and not hear from him, depart from me, you work of iniquity, on that last day, in the great judgment, then you have to and you need to follow the apostles' doctrine. That's why we have it in tangible form, so that you and I can know how we're off base and how we're on base with his word.
His word, not men, not spiritual leaders today, but God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Beware, beloved, of there's so many movements that are Satan has got total control of, and they are absolutely routing, if you will, and misleading millions who think they're serving God, but they're wasting their lives doing things that do not pertain to the Great Commission command of Jesus. Jesus said that when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? No, he also said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Have you put your hand on the plow and now you're looking back, or you're not continuing to plow forward and steadfastly preaching and teaching Jesus Christ and continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? How do you know if you're on base or off base if you're not in the Word every day? I can tell you that according to James 1, if you're not in the Word every day, you're a man who's forgotten what manner of man you are before the Lord without the Lord, and you have fallen away. What? Yes, you heard me. If you're out of the Word of God, it's because you don't desire God. You're not hungering and thirsting after the Lord. This is a wake-up call. There's no accident that you're listening to this message. You must endure to the end to be saved, and it's only through the life of Christ given to us in the broken bread of His Word that we can have His life. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, He said, "Man shall not live or have life by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You cannot have spiritual life unless you're feeding that spiritual life with the Word of God. And again, how do you know if you're on base or not if you're not studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? What do you mean, not be ashamed? Well, as I mentioned a minute ago, there are going to be millions who think they're saved or have been saved and have fallen away that are going to be shocked on Judgment Day. They're going to be ashamed because they didn't study and make sure they were really following the Lord. And they followed some other way. Some other clown that's standing up there misrepresenting Christ, acting like he's a spiritual leader and a pastor. I mean, we got these guys running around calling themselves apostles and everything else, and you got to be kidding me, man. I guess I'll try to leave that one alone right now and stay on subject for the moment. That we'll do that in another message, I think. Let me ask you something. Are you involved in God's business or man's business? Are you wasting your time and the Lord's time thinking you're a Christian and yet not following the Lord in reality, according to His Word? It's time to draw back, friend, and get before the Lord and maybe miss a Sunday or two at this church we think is so important, and come away and go on a fast and seek God and find out what God wants for your life. But somebody wants to say, well, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because we've been taught and trained to think that assembling yourselves together only has to do with Sunday morning for 2 hours in our little local church. That's nonsense. The early church met house to house daily. We meet a couple of times a week at a certain building and think we're get all impressed with ourselves. That's ridiculous. Do you even know, beloved? And I'm not saying that you don't, because you may. You may be far ahead of revelation on this than me. But I'm asking you, do you even know what God's business is? What do you mean, God's business? Well, Jesus says that He spoke of His Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S. God's got business for us to do. That's Luke 2:49. The Lord calls His true children to be about His business, and what His business is, and what is His business, opposed to sinful man's undertakings, like running out and marching in a little parade with pink on, campaigning for women's breast cancer. I'll try not to use harsh language, but I am a little bit furious right now. We don't really care about their souls, but we're so wonderful. We're so good. We give money, and we wear our pink certain days of the year, calling ourselves Christians, and running around parading and campaigning and giving money to breast cancer. And we don't care that those people die and go to heaven instead of hell. And then we're going to call ourselves Christians. We're nothing but hypocrites, folks. Jesus said, what good would it be for a man to gain even the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for soul? You and I are called to come out from among them and be separate and be about the Father's business, which is to save souls. Jesus spoke of His Father's business, my Father's business. Anybody who's in Christ truly is about the Father's business. You want to know if you're saved? Check it right here. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. So stop and meditate on that. If in fact you are following Jesus, you're a fisher of men. If you're not a fisher of men, you are not following Jesus. Don't care if you hate me. You won't be the first. Now, you're going to make a choice right here to either repent and own up to the Word of God and hold yourself accountable to it, go on a fast until you've broken and you desire it, and call out to God to cause it to come to pass and be brought to pass in your life, in your daily life, or you're not. You're going to get upset and you're going to go find one of the myriad of false teachers who are speaking smooth things, not calling you to repent and challenging you to obey the Word of God. Go ahead. And then there's others of you, they're going to say, praise God, that's the truth. Lord, break me. Lord, give me a contrite heart. Lord, give me a heart of flesh. Lord, I repent. I repent right now for not seeking first your kingdom. I repent, Lord, for not being about my Father's business. I repent for having myself as a false god before you, because you said you shall have no other gods before me. I repent. I return to you, my God. I love you, Jesus. Break me. Make me contrite in spirit, Lord, and pour me out to a world that's lost and needs you, and to your body that has so great a need of healing and teaching and restoration and blessing. Use me, Lord. You must increase, but I must decrease. Hallelujah. That's the heart of a true disciple of Jesus. Jesus says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. What could be more plain? You tell me. Those who truly are following Christ are the ones who are overcoming and will escape sin and hell, and are busy preaching and communicating and teaching his word, which holds the only answers to man's dilemma. Sin is man's dilemma. And Jesus Christ is revealed in the Holy Scriptures as the only solution to man's sin. Fighting cancer, promoting politicians that promise all these things to help save our wonderful, temporal, fleeting, sinful nation. All of that is waste. It's disobedience. It's rebellion against God. And, you know, there's people out there calling themselves Christians that spend more time giving money to and rescuing dogs and cats, but they don't have any time, any wherewithal, or any unction in them to pass out a tract and tell people Jesus died for their sins. You really think that kind of person is serving Jesus and is a disciple of Jesus? Don't fool yourself. They're not. Be not deceived. Fighting cancer, fighting via politics, trying to restore the nation, this nation, which is going to be burned up with fire, 2 Peter 3, is not what God calls you and I to do. And such will never bring root deliverance or the escape from sin in the lake of fire to anyone. That's why we're in this condition we're in this nation. Because disciples or people that call themselves followers of Jesus are too busy propping up their stupid local churches and their apostate denominations and religious circles and trying to fight through politics. They don't have time, money, or energy to preach the gospel to their own neighbor. Do you really think somebody that's a true born-again Christian, if you lead them to Christ, that they're going to go vote for some animal that's running or is in office to re-elect that wolf, animal, evil, deceiver who's legislating the murder of unborn children? Of course not. But you see, we're trying to educate people and make this world that's a sinful and adulterous generation, Jesus said, and he's the only solution to them, to make this world a better place to live in. That's absolutely ludicrous. It's absolute rebellion. It's actually Luciferic dominionism, kingdom now theology, which is the vain attempt to preserve this fallen world simply and selfishly to make this temporal home a better dwelling place. That's not what Jesus had in mind. We are sojourning, Peter said, in this life. We're passing through. We're to be bringing our sheaves with us through sowing the precious seed of the Word of God. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. What kind of harvest will you have? How many people have you led to Christ this year, this month? How many people have you given a gospel tract to and love and told them that Jesus wants them to know him and that they have sinned against God and that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for their sins to bring them into one wholeness with God and relationship with the Lord and to make peace with God before it's too late. When? Friend, when? When? See, saving this nation and trying to make this world a better place and helping people overcome cancer is utter futility and sin against the Almighty. God's got an answer to cancer. Pray over them. Put oil on them. Hello, give them the gospel. So in case they do die and get the ultimate healing, they go to be with the Lord. Otherwise, they're going to hell and it's going to be nothing but ultimate destruction forever. It's futility, friend. Futility. It's vain deceit. And anybody leading you and championing you and sending emails to you to try to get you to give money so they can fax something to a congressman. I'm not saying all involvement or any involvement's a sin, but weigh out what you're doing and what your priorities are, friend. Are you about the Father's business? Do you have energy and time and money and effort to do all this other stuff and get all worked up about it, and you don't have time to give out a gospel tract that we will give you for free? What are you going to say before the Lord on Judgment Day when He saved your wretched soul and you didn't love Him enough to go share that love with somebody else? Didn't Jesus say that inasmuch as you did it or did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me or unto me, or you did it not unto me? And then He's going to say to them, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire because of what you didn't do to help others? I know that's the judgment of the nations, but it's the same principles whereby we're going to be judged by in Matthew 25. This just indicates, friend, that you have fallen away. You're apostate, as Israel was many times. And God is calling you to confess your sins and repent and return to Him. Hosea 14, verse 1 and 2. Bring words before Him and return unto me, He said. He loves you. He's not willing that you would perish. And all of this is an indication that you have left your first love. You do not know the Lord anymore. You have counted everything in the world more important than Him. That's why you don't have time for Him. You don't put Him first in your life. You don't get up seeking His face. You get up reading your paper and feeding your mouth and everything else but seeking Jesus in prayer and in the Word. I'm not trying to be legalistic, friend, but this is fruit of an apostate life. God is going to renovate and make all things new, He told us in His Word, 2 Peter 3. But first, He will allow them to be burned up, 2 Peter 3, Isaiah 65, 17, etc. Behold, I make all things new. He's going to renovate the earth. God's going to take care of the earth. The government is going to rest on Jesus' shoulders, not ours. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. He's the mighty God. He's the one that's going to take over when He comes back. We're not here to take dominion. We're not even taking dominion of our own hearts and lives. If we were, we would be about our Father's business. And yet we're going to take dominion and get all the money from the wicked and grab a few scripture here or there and misuse them and twist them to our own self-serving Luciferic glory. We want to be our own little gods. We don't want to submit to Jesus. We're enemies of the cross of Christ. We should be crying, Lord, You must increase, I must decrease. Go on a fast and cry out to God until He breaks you and your heart in a billion pieces, and you're laying limp and totally dependent upon Him for your every iota of energy, breath, and grace. Then He will lift you up in His power, His resurrection power and grace, to fulfill His will and to be well-pleasing to Him. You have to die. It's time for you to die. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, friend, at this point to get a copy of the book or books, Raised Up. You can get it at safeguardyoursoul.com, and also I Die Daily. These are all about the cross, the daily cross, and being broken, which is the opposite of this self-serving, preserving our life. Jesus said if you try to preserve your life, you're going to lose it. Have we not read the Gospels, beloved? Have we not even read through the Gospel? And you got all these people out there vying for your attention and to help you see that they're the wonderful man of the hour. Oh, even woman of the hour, believe it or not. Jezebel's in ministry, leadership. That's ridiculous. It's not even biblical. They're going to tell you things that are going to tickle you and make you feel good and make you feel like you're a part of something by establishing the kingdom of God in this earth. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus said, I will build my church, and He's doing it. But He's doing it in the hearts of men. Every day, every time you teach somebody the Word of God, or you share a verse with them, you email them a verse, you go sit down and share, break the bread of life, the scriptures, and pray with them at a local coffee shop or restaurant, or you gather in somebody's living room, or you pray together. Hey, that's how Jesus is building His body. In the hearts of men, one person at a time. We love you, friend. I want to pray for you real quick about this whole message, and for myself also, because nobody needs Jesus more than me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We thank You that time is no, it doesn't matter. When somebody's hearing this, You're there, present with them in this prayer. Holy Father, we ask that we'd be broken and brought down low, God. Broken, broken, broken. And of contrite spirit, that which is pleasing to You, poor in spirit according to Your definition, so that You can raise us up as we are Your clay, Your mere clay, and You're our potter, and use us to fulfill the unchanging great commission to help others to come to know You as we look for Your soon return, Lord Jesus, and the eternal plan You have, that we would reign with You in the New Jerusalem forever and ever. Lord, we ask You to forgive us. We repent. We return to You right now as our first love. Forgive us for idolatry of self and for being moved about by mere men who pose as Christian leaders but misrepresent You. Forgive us, Lord. Break us and bless us, Lord, to glorify You and to be about Your business. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.